It's April 30th, the last day of April. I'm here with my good friend CJ. CJ, how are you today?
I'm feeling great, Scott. Played nine holes today in my first round or half round since November. Yeah, stuff's good.
Wow, first half round since November.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, because you've had the back issue. CJ, they say that you should never be afraid of change. We've changed it up today. We are in your basement, which we haven't done in a long, long time.
Yep.
Last time we were here, I think I fell asleep watching a Bruins playoff game. We are actually watching in the background the Bruins playoff game. So we'll give updates as we go, which is silly because when everybody listens to this, the game will have been over.
Yeah, it's 1-1 right now. Bruins are on a power play.
You and I are both having a cocktail because it's like 8 o'clock at night later. It's like 8:15 at night.
8:30, yeah.
8:30 at night. We normally do this during the day.
Yeah.
But it's nice. It's good to change things up. I feel it. I feel like a different energy doing it now.
I think we were getting a little flat when we were at Gary's at noon. I think we needed to move it to, because we used to do these at 1 in the afternoon, drinking a bottle of bourbon. I think we've both kind of like maybe grown up a little bit since then.
There's no doubt about that.
We both realized that bourbon maybe isn't the best choice for us. I've been cocktail free for a while, but now, like, you know, I'm enjoying a decent one here. It's taking the edge off a little bit.
You're having what I'm having, right? A gin and tonic?
A gin and tonic.
Yes.
Yep. Monkey 47 gin, which is delicious.
It's very good.
Very good, right?
Yeah. I am a big fan of Hendrix.
I like Hendrix a lot, too.
It's cleaner. You know, like...
Yeah, it's very smooth.
With gins... Like, I know everybody likes Tanqueray, but Tanqueray tastes like it has a perfume in it to me. Do you know what I'm saying?
I can see that, yeah. I think the methods of making gin is, it's really interesting. It's like Bombay Sapphire.
I was going
to
mention that
too, yeah. If
you're
allergic to nuts, you can't drink Bombay Sapphire.
If you what?
Bombay Sapphire has nuts in it. You can't, if you're
I
allergic to
nuts. I did not know that.
Yeah.
And Hendrix has cucumber. Did you know that?
Absolutely.
They suggest you put it with a cucumber. But I don't like cucumbers, so I have it with lime. But
No, lime goes great.
Yeah, gin is like a junk. It's like it's whatever's in the garbage. We can make gin out of it.
Yeah. It also can fuel your car.
It can?
Yeah.
Wow. Not a Tesla like you have. You just have to plug that in.
No, I just pour it over it.
Sure. Why not? Yeah. I would say that gin and tonic is a good drink for the summer. It is a traditional hot summer night drink. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely.
The glass sweats. It's nice. It's clean.
Yeah. No, it's... I think for me, as I'm getting older, I need to understand what my choices in drink do to me. And clear liquor, I can wake up and have a good day the next day.
Yeah.
If I'm drinking whiskey, bourbon... red wine, anything like that, I know that I need to not have any plans until like noon the next day.
Yeah. It's just done. I'm done feeling that way.
It just sucks. Can't.
Plus the fact that I used to be, and this is again younger, better at golf when I was hungover, and I'm not anymore.
Oh, interesting.
And on top of that, I don't even enjoy it. So I play better now. I found out over the weekend, I don't know if I told you, but I shot 76 on Saturday. At Neshadak. We're going to get to Neshadak in a second. But I'd woken up that morning, and I did a Peloton boot camp. And so I had my blood going and all that. And I was ready to go. And I played well.
That's great.
And I think that's the new thing.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, hungover golf sucks. So
you're going to be ready to go. You're going to be ready to rock for... We have a match coming up next week.
Yes.
First Twy match against Walpole. Opening parties tomorrow night.
Yeah. Now, what's going to happen at that then? Are we going to make bets on who has the most matches?
We're going to have, I think, about 25 guys there on the patio, wow. Neshadak room if it's bad weather. But it'll be good. We have a lot of new players. Mm-hmm. I think,
but a lot of them aren't playing a lot. Correct.
Everyone. So our scheduling worked out. We were hoping to get everyone into a match.
Yes, I think
but
we got
it didn't
like,
work out. I think we only got
Brendan
two.
Brendan Shortell got one match. And I told him he was lucky to get that one.
No, it was hard. It was hard this year. It was really hard this year to get the scheduling to work out. But, you know, people have already dropped out of some matches. So, like, guys.
Oh, yeah, it'll be fluke.
Yeah, so some guys who we want to play, like, didn't get a match, but now they have matches because people dropped out. And
gotcha. See, Jay, I'll end up playing every match. I think you dropped me on one match because I said I was available for every match, but I'll end up playing every match because that one match that I'm not in, someone will bail, and I'll play in it. But I'm looking forward to
it. Well, I wasn't going to put you in. I only have two matches that I schedule. Wasn't going to put you in my match, in the one that's next week, but we decided we wanted the most obnoxious people from Nishadok for that match.
Of course. Thank you.
And so you went from bench to number one draft pick.
Wow. Hey, what? Everybody has their own traits when it comes to golf. I just happen to also be the best putter at Nishadok. So that's a good combo.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So the TWI starts May 9th. That's the first. Is it a home or away?
Home. We start with two matches at home. Mm. So we have Walpole, then we have Concord. So those are two big matches. We got to start the season.
Concord,
right.
We got to be Concord.
Yeah.
We hate Concord.
Big rivals.
And CJ, I wanted to go back to Nishadok because I told you I played, what did I play, Saturday and Sunday? Look, granted, the course was just aerated. I was astonished by how good a condition the course was in.
The course is great. I played
and
today,
it's only going to get better every day as the grass grows a little. They would do whatever they do, roll, cut, whatever. It's going to get better and better.
No, it was good conditions today. I mean, the greens were still a little bit slow from the aeration, but the fairways were nice. They were really nice to hit from.
There were a couple, like the 18th fairway. We looked at it on Sunday. We're like, wait a second. Wasn't there water on this, and didn't we aerate this? It was unbelievable.
Troy must be using some kind of illegal steroid.
Well, however it works, it looks great. The greens will heal, and I think, barring any, we know, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
It's going to be good. It should be a good year. I think I'll be, getting those greens going by, I would say mid-May. I think we'll see them be just pretty much way they usually are, where they roll well. There'll be different speeds on different days, but all I really care about is true rolls, and I think we'll have that.
So, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Also, CJ, you saw there were a couple things that happened this week when it comes to Nishadok ramping up. Number one was, are you playing in the ABCD? Member kind of get-to-know-everybody tournament. Did you see that email?
Yeah, I'm not playing in that. I can't play on weekends.
You're right. But you're not against the ABCD format.
I love that format. I think that's a great format. I would love to play in it. Weekends
Saturday
are just really
Saturday
hard.
Saturday is Max and Leo's day, so you can't do it.
Yeah, Saturday is my day with my little guy. I did, as an esteemed member of the golf committee, I have a tournament. I am in charge of the Labor Day tournament this year.
Oh, nice.
So I will play in that. I was actually playing
with Bassett.
I was actually kind of got assigned to it, but I'll be looking for, is it one partner for that?
Yes.
So I'll be looking for a partner. That is my birthday weekend. So,
wow. That's asking a lot.
So I'm organizing it. Obviously, I'll play in it if I'm organizing it. I'll need to find a partner. I'm thinking Heatherman, if you're out there.
There's going to be plenty of partners out there for you.
Heatherman.
That's a tournament that my recollection, because I played with Bassett now for 2-3 years, guys are paired up for that. What I find with Nishadok is there are, how many tournaments will you play with a partner? Two? Really only two. Three. There's the spring thing, right? Which is the week after Memorial Day. And I play with Dino in that. And that is one where everybody seems to play with the same guy every year. Then there's the Nishadok Cup, which is not a day thing. That one you should be playing in because that's a play when you play. Didn't you and I play in that last one year we played in it?
And which one?
The Nishadok Cup.
Remember two years ago.
Didn't I have to play by myself one time?
You had to play by yourself because there
you
was
were
a 2 week. No. There was a 2 week period that we could play our opponents. And I said, of these 14 days, 13 of them work for me, one doesn't. And they said, well, that's the one day that works for us. And so we decided to go with that for some reason.
I almost beat them.
Yeah.
Last year, did we
play together last year?
Are we incumbents on that?
Did we play together last year, too?
No, I can't remember. CJ.
No, I think we did because...
I know I played in it.
Because you played one-on-one against Jay.
I played 36 holes that day.
Yeah, yeah. And you played 1-1
against
Jay.
So we're in on that.
Yeah, we're doing that again. All right. We're doing that again.
So, and then like you said, the four-man four ball. You'll find somebody, but that's another one where guys kind of always pair up
yeah,
every
that makes
year.
Sense.
But you shouldn't worry about that. The other thing that happened, CJ, is a complete turnaround in the Invitational. What
so
happened?
We haven't talked about the Invitational yet. So
that's why I'm bringing
it
up.
So for the purposes of the podcast, the Invitational is the same as it was last year.
I gather.
So we don't have much. We don't have anything to discuss.
I see. So you can't discuss.
No, I could,
it
but what's
seems
the point?
As though,
but what's the point?
No, because it seems as though it's the same as last year.
Like, it's a tough balancing act, man. Like, you just...
See, Joe, the email went out already.
What?
The email went out.
I know, I signed up.
Oh, all right, but... Oh, you were allowed because it was only teams to participate in last year. Well, you didn't make the dinner. I mean,
I swung a golf club more than anybody else that weekend.
You also paid more money than anybody
yeah, that's
else
fair.
That weekend.
I lost thousands on the pitching sheets. Yeah, no, I can't wait. In this, you know, I will say that given that we're going to be at around 90 teams again, I am absolutely going to be playing from the tips.
It sounds like you're playing from the tips.
Oh my God.
Yeah, CJ. I mean, look. I tell anybody that'll ask me that you're a smart guy, but that was not a smart move. Playing with Jay Messina is, he's playing as a plus something, and you got your little vanity 9.2, and you guys are screwed.
It's so far beyond vanity.
You're screwed.
It's so far
I
beyond
understand
vanity.
That.
Like a vanity for me. A
this
vanity,
is the
a vanity,
I want to do a.
A vanity handicap for me would be like 11-1. 9.2 is
absurd.
Can
we do a Calcutta shorting tournament where I can
you would win all the money. No, it's ugly. No, I think it's going to be a good year for me.
Well, you're going to have to make that 9 move up a little bit. You got to put some scores.
But
in.
We play at the 12 month low, so I'm stuck there.
You play at the 12 point low on the day they pull it. You put some scores in, you might move that a little bit.
It's 12-month low. My 9.2 is in November, so it's gonna be stuck there.
Well, that's right.
So I just better make sure it doesn't go down.
Load. Well, no, that's not TJ. You're the math guy. Let's say that they say we're pulling your 12-month. Oh, it's your 12-month low. So your 9.2 is that's your nadir.
That's the max that I'm gonna be playing at.
You're 9.2, and by the way, it's also 85%. So you're playing at a 9.
Yeah, but
you
the
and
text,
Jay are getting 8 shots.
Do you know? What the course handicap is for a 9.2?
It would be from the tips, maybe an 11, 12?
14.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, but you're gonna be 85% of that. So you'll play in you might get. Well, maybe
10,
that'll.
I'll be at 10, 11 shots.
Maybe that'll push you out of the first flight, and then you can play from the blues.
That'd be great.
It's gonna be close. I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to depend on partner selection.
We'll
from other guys.
We'll do a little show prep for the next one, and
yeah,
we'll look
so
and
Jay,
see.
Jay isn't a plus. He's like a 0.2.
Mm-mm. His low is definitely a plus.
It's not.
No?
No, it's 0.2.
So he's a scratch.
So our combined handicap would have put us at the very bottom
of last,
of
year?
Last year's first flight.
Okay. It's going to be
tough. Ken Gates' squad was the very bottom of them. We had the exact same score.
And he's bringing the same guy. But
yeah.
They both are probably a little higher than they were last year.
Fuck.
His partner, Rob Bailey, is terrible. So he doesn't belong in the first flight either.
Yeah.
And Kenny's a little guy. He can't be hitting from the tips. So
he's fiery, though, man.
He's fiery, but he's little.
He's like little. He's like Rory McIlroy. He fucking crushes it.
He doesn't crush it. He hits the ball. I mean, but because of his frame, it doesn't go that far. So it's okay. But no need to talk about Kenny. So we're playing. We're going to be 90 teams. Half the field's not going to see the other half. Nothing got resolved.
So that's the thing. And I was talking to some guys about this because when we were talking about making some pretty significant changes to the Invitational, people were pretty upset about potential changes. People were getting like very upset, like very, very upset. And I said, look, like, I'm not going to name, and I think it's, if you're a committee member at Neshadik, I don't see anything other than pure transparency being the right move when you're talking to your friends and your fellow members.
I agree.
The only thing I won't do is I won't say who said what or who voted which way. Just because that's like, that's messed up. And I won't even tell people how I voted.
No, you shouldn't.
But I was like, look, we were talking about these changes. Like, there's all these factors you're trying to bring in. You want everyone to participate. But the people who participate say, it's too much. It's too slow. We should go back to match play. Like, all these things. And you're like, these things are all at odds with each other. All this feedback that's coming in. What do you do?
Right.
And the discussions in those rooms are like, every decision is split. I mean, look, right. With the Nishok's been around forever. There are no like easy decisions to make when you're in these committee meetings.
No.
You end up talking, you argue both sides, your own vote goes flip-flops a couple times during a discussion. Every 10 minutes, someone's like, God, this sucks. Because something is going to give. Like, either you're going back to match play and you're cutting a bunch of teams out, which sucks, or you're opening it up and everyone can participate and it's a slow tournament.
Right.
But I think that what ultimately won out and why we kept it the same is that a lot of, you know, like a huge part of the fun is just like the before and after the round.
Yes.
And it's just a great camaraderie weekend. It's the signature event for the year. And why not have as many people into that as you can? And you just take the weaknesses with it that come with it. And maybe over time, you know, we figure out a way to do match play or find other ways to like to enhance the tournament.
So do you want to hear perspectives from the non-committee members? Not just me, but tons of people that talked about it. Or it doesn't matter at this point.
You know me. I don't really listen to anybody.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. Anyway. Yeah, of course I want to hear it.
So there were the greatest sense of consternation was, what if in a pure lottery someone got left out who had played, and there are plenty of examples. I mean, I might be one, but there's hundreds of examples who had played every single time, every single year that they were eligible to play, including the COVID year, including, you know, years when other guys maybe just whatever couldn't play for 1 year or whatever. That would be a travesty, right? We all agree on that. But then if you say, okay, well, that guy's in, but then, so then one other guy says, well, I missed one in 2019. So you know what I mean? Like, it's, there's never a solution there. The other thing, the other perspective that I heard, and it's not my perspective, was that these decisions were being made in relation to the staff and not the members. And that one,
the other constituency you're thinking of though that you missed though is new members who just paid $100,000 for their first year, and they're saying, you're telling me that I have no idea.
However, that is actually, if you're going to default to one thing or the other, people have to understand when you join a club new, there may be certain things you can't get into. It's just the way it is, regardless of how much money you pay. I mean, that's just a fact.
I get it. No, and that's an easy point for us to make as those who are on the in of the tournament.
Well,
when you're in these committee meetings and you're trying to abstract yourself from your friends and the people you know very well, your own interests, and you're trying to put the best interests of everybody
right
on the table. And yes, it is these are extremely difficult decisions to make. Right. And then, of course, you're trying to abstract. You're trying to take your friends out of the equation and your own self interest out of the equation. Obviously, that's really difficult. Obviously, those feelings come into those discussions. Look, it is very difficult. But I think that the people that we have making those decisions, we went back and forth a bunch. I think ultimately we came out with the right call for right now.
Well, so I want to share one more thing with you about everything you said, because you've said it great. I agree with everything you said. I'm sure it was difficult. I've been there.
Yeah.
I ran this tournament a couple of years, but I never had to run it in a time where we were making changes on format or anything. When I ran it, it was always, we're doing what we did last year. It's great. And everybody's in, right? So that was simple. And what you went through was really hard.
I saw some stats, by the way, in the years that you ran it was the slowest rounds of the history of the shot.
They were slow, but there were reasons for that had nothing to do with me.
I blame you for all.
But this
rounds.
Was back when we were putting food stations like two or three places on the court, like in the
on the 12th
hole
stop.
And the fifth hole, and you know, then there was all the stuff we were doing things on the par threes and blah blah. But regardless, so I mean, two things. Number one, and I'm not speaking out of school because he was there on Saturday. I spent a good amount of time talking to the current president, Josh Klimkowitz, who very succinctly said, yeah, no, we're not changing. That doesn't make any sense and all. And so I think there was a point where he weighed in as the president of the club, and he was very much in favor of keeping it the same way. So I'm not speaking for him. I don't know what happened to get him to that decision, but he was pretty matter of fact about it. The other thing that I wanted to say was, and you tell me how you feel about this. My understanding when we do these tee times is that you're going to play nine holes, you're going to get off the course, and you're going to have downtime. Because that's what we did last year, right? You played nine, you got off the course, and then you're going to tee off 10 at some point when it was your turn.
Yeah.
Right? Okay? So in my mind, understanding that downtime is going to be in between 9 and 10 in the clubhouse, whether you go to Gary's, whether you want to go hit balls, whatever you want to do. In my mind, I was like, I'm fine with that. I get that. I don't care if it's an hour and a half. You could work if you want. You can make some phone calls. You can do whatever. But I think it was guys that weren't prepared for that downtime that had a problem with that. I had no problem with that. And then when we played, I thought the play was actually relatively, you know, normalized, you know?
It was slow. From
my
perspective.
But we were in different flights, too.
We were in different waves. It was slow. It was...
Mine wasn't that slow.
I thank the lucky stars out there that our last round, when we were just completely out of the tournament, that we got to play with the Howes. Because they were so freaking fun to play with.
Right. You need people that are fun to play with.
They were so fun.
Look, if you're playing with two people you're not enjoying... The round could be fast, it still feels slow.
Yeah.
And vice versa, like you just said, you could say, wow, I had a great time. I realize you played in 4:45.
We've been lucky. So Boyer and I, I've played in the Invitational for 2 years, like six rounds. All six rounds we had good people. I will say I've never laughed as much as I have with the Howes.
Well, when you play with Boyer in the sixth round, you're playing with a lot of non-golfers like yourselves. But you play in the first flight, you're going to have a whole different perspective on the game. Just telling you, you may not enjoy the first flight as much.
Yeah, I'm gonna be on like the 12th tee from the tips.
From the tips,
I'll be like 32 over after 12. I'll be like, oh man, guys, this never happens to me. I shot a 76 at Sawgrass in November.
Oh well, yeah, you could be saying that.
Yeah, I'll be that guy.
You're a 9.2.
I'll be that guy.
Yeah, that's
I did that today when I duffed my.
You have to. That 76 will live.
It's gonna live on forever.
You should have gotten a plaque for it.
I duffed my first drive on ones. I hadn't swung, and I got there just in time for the tee time. I hit like two balls, and duffed my tee shot on one. And I was like, 76 Sawgrass in November.
I know you did.
Yeah, believe it or not.
See, Jay, let me ask you this. Before the 76 of Sawgrass, what was the closest you came to that score? And don't count like Whalen Country Club.
A 78 at Redtail.
Wow.
From the tips. From the tips at Redtail.
Was that last year?
2 years ago.
Okay.
Tips at Redtail.
Okay. So, I mean, the thing is, the one thing you should know is you're capable of it.
Yeah, of course. And I've had a lot of like good like rounds in the 30s for nine.
Yeah.
But with my game, it's like
What if you and Messina turn it on in the Invitational?
We could.
What if you're the comeback kid?
You go always play well with Jay. Like we've played in some tournaments not at Neshonic, and like we go on these runs where our best ball score will be like a 30 for a nine.
It's going to be best ball.
Yeah,
right?
And like for whatever reason, I think for me when I play with better players, I think I just see how smooth they are. They don't rush it, and it really helps me to...
But it also, because you and I have played together, when you play with a better golfer, and you and I had this conversation when one time we played in the Twi together, I'm like, TJ, I just need you to win two holes, three holes. And if you remember, at the end... Do you remember that?
Yeah, of course.
On
7.
7, which was our 16 in that tournament because we teed off at 10. You won, and then I ended up winning
8.
8, and then I think I won 9, and we won that match. And it catapulted us because of that hole that you won. And you had won one prior, but that's all I needed from you.
Yeah.
And so I think with you playing with a guy like Jay, who's a very good golfer, the pressure is off of you to be like, fuck, every hole I got to really grind. You can just say, okay, well, I hit that drive good on 14. So let me see if I can turn that into a par net birdie, and we're rolling. And that's what'll happen.
Yeah.
I think there's value to that.
Yeah, my thing is, like, and I'm going to be working with Mark more this summer. I want to be more than a 2 or 3 holes as a match guy.
Well, that's not what I'm saying. You will be. And there are going to be times where you have to be. But when you're playing with a golfer who's significantly better than you, like Jay is, and you know that if you can contribute 3-4 holes, you might be in really, really good shape. That's not a bad place to be in your mind. You know what I mean?
But here's the thing. Is I actually, like, I think the reason I play really well with Baldini is Baldini's really good, but he, any given hole, he could drive it OB.
Yes.
Also.
And so you know you got to be on your...
So I know I got to... Yeah. So I know... So when I play with you guys, I'm like, I don't know which hole it's going to be that I have to turn it on. So I think I check out a little bit.
And then match play, well, but that's the difference between that and the invitational. And match play, let's say you both drive it OB. All right, well, you lost that hole. You can make that up in metal play, like the invitational. You can't do that.
Yeah.
And that's why I think for you to play with a guy like Jay in a metal play tournament like the invitational, that's going to be better for you. Because he's probably not going to put you in a position where you lose 2 shots on a hole. More than likely, right? But he'll put you in a position where you can make a par on a hole where you have a shot, or maybe even make a birdie, and boom, you guys are rolling.
Yeah, well, I think, but that's the thing, is if we're at the bottom, for the guy who's the higher handicap, being at the bottom of the flight is huge, because what that basically means is I'm going to end up getting like 8-9 shots on the field.
You will get...
So my pars are going to matter a ton.
In that flight...
My pars were metal.
Well, remember that in the metal play, you're just getting what you get. It doesn't matter what you get on the field. If it was match play, that would matter because you would probably go up against guys where you're getting your full amount of shots, if not more. You know, if you were going up against someone with a +1, like Jeremy Mead or someone who I think is going to play as a +1 in the tournament, you're going to be playing against Jeremy Mead. You're playing against, you know, the best golfers at the club.
I know, but that's what I'm saying, though. Like, isn't it? It's best ball net, right? So
it's best ball net.
Yeah, so my par on, if I'm getting 10 shots.
Yes, I know what you're saying.
My par on.
You're on par on 10 some, is going to be somebody else's par, and it's going to be your birdie.
Yeah, and like, I mean, 10's a 3 handicap, so, but I mean, it's more like, it's more those last 3 holes.
No, I hear you.
The easier holes.
Yep. Yeah, look, it's going to be fascinating. I give you guys, wrapping up that conversation, a ton of credit for hashing out, for probably having a really hard couple of meetings, if not more, and then ending up where you were. I think Brian felt better about it. I know that the constituency felt better about it. And, you know, I think, you know, we'll see. We'll see how this goes. There were some extenuating circumstances last year as to why
things were slow. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting.
We had weather issues last year.
I always think about when I'm thinking about, and this is the way I thought about my business when I was running it, like, I always think about things in terms of constituencies.
Wait a second. You used to work?
What? Yeah, I know. But I always think of, and that's the thing, is like, who is the primary constituency? When you say it's the membership, that decision is easy. If you say my constituency here is the best golf tournament possible, we would cut the field to like 60 teams and have a match play tournament.
Sure. I'm not disagreeing.
But that's not the constituency we're serving.
We're
serving the members.
You are.
That is very important to think about how to frame that. And that's ultimately, I think, why we arrived at the decision we did. And no, it's obviously very hard because the vast majority of participants in the Invitational would prefer match play. But even more so, they would prefer to be in the Invitational.
Yes. And I think that's and a I great. Think
that is a, that's a really good thought, right?
Yes. Interestingly, when we moved to the metal play, so that the only way you can do 96 teams is to go metal play. We all agree on that. Totally. We understood that. So the year that we decided to go to 96, I think that Brian figured that was the absolute max. We never came close to it. Even though we heard all these guys were clamoring, I want to get in. And then when it came time, the first year we had 88. We were like eight short of capacity. And then last year, I think, what did we have, 90?
Yeah.
But still, we've never gotten a capacity, which we decided to accommodate for the constituency. So, great, there's no sneezing at 90. That's a lot of golfers.
Yeah.
But it still wasn't what we had obliged to be able to take for the constituency. So, to your point, if you ever want to get back to match play, I think you just look for attrition. And then every year that you get attrition, you stay with that number. And till you get to 72, and then you can go right back to match play. Yeah. And have you played this tournament at match with match play?
No.
It's a great tournament with match play. I'd be the first to admit it. You get to play 9-hole matches. They're unbelievably intense. You get to know the guys in your flight, and a lot of them become friends of yours. That's how I met Angelo Libertini. I didn't even know him the first time I played with him at the Invitational. So,
I did not know the origin story.
I would tell you that I'm sure a lot of clubs have this discussion. But there are clubs that are just like, no, we're doing match play. It's 72. You're in or you're out. And I think this club is good that they're more, you know, willing to please the members. But sometimes then you run into some of the meetings that you had to have over the last couple of sessions.
Yeah, and so, if you want a good match play tournament, play in the McGavin Cup.
What a segue, CJ. You know what? That chin is doing you wonders. CJ, I got a question for you.
I have an answer.
Today is April 30th. Have you scheduled both of your May matches?
We have.
And so have I.
Nice.
How many of the 27 teams, by the way, 27 teams, that means there are 27 matches in May, correct? Because it's divided by two and then times two. Does that make sense? Every team plays twice, but every team plays every other team. So
yep,
there are 27 matches in May. Mm-hmm. How many of those 27 matches do you think were scheduled? Give me your percentage on April 30th.
15%.
I was kind of hoping for a little more than that.
Are you? But you're not.
I'm not going to take
you're
the,
not
over.
Taking the over.
I am not taking the over on that.
I should
schedule your matches.
I should read you the text that I sent my team.
When you were trying to schedule them or after the fact?
When I was trying to schedule.
Okay.
Because I set up a spreadsheet. I was like, put in your availability for the month. I'll take care of it. No worries. Crickets.
Yeah.
3 days later.
This were your partners?
My partners.
Wow.
3 days later. Hey.
Sammy was in Costa Rica, right?
He was in Costa Rica. Fair. Crickets. I had to send a text that was like, you guys are fucking killing me.
Right. By the language.
Yeah. I was like, you guys are
children
killing me.
Listen to this podcast.
I was like, it's soul crushing to like put this work in and like I can't get a response. I probably laid it on a little thick, but I also was like, I just really want to schedule this.
We spend most of our time talking about how you have to schedule your matches. I would say this, and would you agree with me that when you and I schedule matches with our opponents, they're more quick to respond because, you know, we're the ones railing about scheduling your matches. I'm worried about the group in general. Yeah. And I'm hoping that they understand that, look, there would be no reason not to play a match this weekend. I think the course is good enough right now to have a competitive match this weekend.
So I
wouldn't have thought that.
You know, what's funny is, like, you just got to think about all the perspectives that are out there. So you have us who are just like, you got to schedule all your matches. 27 teams, 4 people a team, 108 members. There's a handful of members in that 108 that have never listened to a podcast, that have not read a single email.
No, don't say that.
That have no idea that they're supposed to schedule 2 May matches.
Oh, my God. Well, how do you get... If they CJ, the podcast was dumbing down the emails. This is why we do it, for the people who are more, you know, are more orally intuned as opposed to reading. You know what I mean? A lot of people aren't literary. Yeah. But between the two, if we can't get through to everybody, what can we do? What can we do?
Yeah.
We can plant a chip in everybody's brain. You have that capacity. Couldn't you come up with something like that? And then we could just ping them if they haven't done it yet. That'll be into the future. We'll do that later.
Yeah, I'll rig some lockers and like just shoot those into people's heads.
There you go.
You know who's really good and responsible about scheduling matches?
Me?
Doyle.
Pat Doyle?
Mm-hmm.
Butt Pirate number one?
Yeah.
What's his name? Putt Pirate.
Putt Pirate
number one. I saw Patty. Patty, I got to tell you something about Pat Doyle. And I know we shit on him every week, but I'm not going to shit on about his golf this week. He literally told me today, I saw him, I told you, I was at Gary's, I worked out, went and had one beer with Gary, I showered, I steamed to get out of there, and then realized I was coming to see you. Pat Doyle's in there. I'm like, dude, what are you doing here? He's like, I'm hiding from my family. Okay. So he's there all the time. He's there more than I am.
Oh, I love Doyle.
And he's younger than my son. What is he doing?
Love Doyle.
I love him too.
He's the best.
Oh, what's going on here, CJ, in the background?
Oh, nice little fight.
Bruins and the Leafs are finally getting at it.
So I'll say that one guy that they picked up for the playoff run, Maroon.
Yes.
I like him because I hated him when they played in the finals against the Blues.
Yeah.
And he was on the Blues. He's good.
He's been helpful in terms of setting more of an edge for this team.
And Andy had the assist on the goal, yeah.
Yeah. They've been tougher. And I like the way they've been playing the second period. Looks like it's about to end scoreless, so it's still 1-1. Which I think favors the Bruins in the third period at home, don't you think?
Yeah.
By
speaking of Boston sports, by the way, the sky is blue, the grass is green, death taxes, and Kristaps Porzingis is hurt.
Boom. Just like that. Just like that. And I will tell you, when he raised his hand to come out, he looked like Aaron Rodgers when he raised his hand on Monday Night Football 4 minutes into the season to come out.
It's not an Achilles, but he might be out.
He's out. He's out. I am already expecting he's out for the year. I mean, maybe, because the NBA playoffs, they seem to play a game every 5 days. It's going to go into, what, mid-June?
Yeah.
So, possibly.
So if he's out for the playoffs, can they replace him?
Well, yeah. I mean, Al Horford, the good news is...
No, but I'm just, like, bring another person in the
room. Oh, that's good. I think it has to be... You can't pick up a street free agent. Like, maybe they could sign LeBron James. He's available.
Yeah, I don't think they can do that. But at least, you know, at least Porzingis kept Horford fresh.
Well, look, what's going to happen, that's what I was going to say, is Horford minutes were, like, really well managed this year. He played sparingly this year, certainly compared to last year when he was their kind of starting center. And Luke Kornet played a lot of minutes this year. And, you know, he'll be able to provide serviceable minutes, draw some fouls, play some defense. Can they win without him? Yes. But was he an X factor? Absolutely.
Of course, he was nasty.
I mean, he just brought a different level of play. The ball could go through him. He was a good passer for a big man. He had a three-point shot that was hard to contest when you're 7 foot, whatever he is. So, yeah, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. But we'll see. I mean, look, the Celts, the Heat is not a good indicator of what the Celts are going to be in the playoffs, because the Heat's terrible. And I think
the only team that scares me in the East is the Knicks.
The Knicks look pretty good. Who is this guy, Brunson? Who the hell is he?
Jalen Brunson. Oh, he was nasty
But who is he?
He was really good on Villanova.
So he's a Villanova guy? Is he a rookie this year?
No. He's like sixth, seventh season.
So I'm not familiar with
him. I went
to
see last time. So the Garden had the NCAA Elite Eight or whatever this year. 6 years ago, however long I went to see Brunson.
Okay.
No, it was 6 years ago, because it was like right around the time my son was born. I went to see Jalen Brunson was the guy on Villanova.
Okay.
Actually, it was funny. I went with Baron and Toons to one of the games to see Jalen Brunson. And then I went to the next one with my wife, and my son was like 2 months old. And it was the first time we had left him with her parents. We went to the game. We got like halfway through the first half, and her parents were like, he's crying. We don't know what the fuck's going on. You have to come back. So we watched.
It was fun while it lasted.
Yeah, it was fun while it lasted.
CJ, speaking of your wife is out of town.
Yeah.
She has basically what you described to me, scheduled breaks from you.
Yes. It's smart.
It sounds great.
Yeah. I would love to have a scheduled break for myself.
I take scheduled breaks from you. But then we come back and we do the podcast, and then that's the celebration of the coming back, and then we take scheduled breaks again. That's what we do.
Yeah.
And your wife is, where is she right now?
North Shore.
Just hanging out, enjoying life.
Yeah.
And you've got Luke, and you got the nanny comes in during the day, right?
No nanny.
You got nothing. No help.
Just me.
How are you playing golf on Thursday?
He'll be at school.
Oh, that's right. I forget he's going to school now.
Yeah.
It's nice when they're big enough to go to school.
Yeah.
All right, CJ. Well, that's good. Big bachelor weekend for you. That's why we're here on a Tuesday night having gin and tonics and doing a podcast. That's what we do on Bachelor Weekend. CJ, do we even want to talk about the Patriots, or is that, or do we table that? I have one observation.
Okay, that's what we're talking about then.
Loved that they drafted Joe Milton. I'm a big Joe Milton guy. Do you know who Joe Milton is?
I do. I'm from Tennessee.
Have you ever seen him play?
I'm from Tennessee.
Do you love Joe Milton?
Love Joe Milton.
I think
do you think he'll start over
Drake May? The greatest thing they did was draft Joe Milton. I really do.
He's got a rocket arm.
Mm-hmm.
He was really good for Tennessee.
So Drake May also, as you know, has a pretty strong arm. But I would tell you that Joe Milton has a cannon of an arm. He needs unbelievable work. But the good news, the other good news about Joe Milton is I can't stand Bailey Zappe. And Bailey Zappe is now gone. That was the Bailey Zappe replacement. And I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see him play
the
preseason.
They also got two receivers with very high upside.
Yeah, I gathered the second guy they took, Javon Baker.
Second fastest guy at the combine.
Barker, Javon Baker,
yeah.
Whoever he is. Everybody raved about him.
Yeah.
Now, what they rave about is where you got him. Like, he dropped for whatever reason. Like, why? If these guys are that great, why do they drop? I don't understand that. Is it because they were in a smaller school, crappier schedule, people didn't see him? I don't get it.
I think these guys are like this guy's a niche, right? He's the burner guy, like you know, the DeSean Jackson mold. And maybe
that's the other one, Barker?
Yeah, but he's like the third one, right?
Okay, so he is a bird.
So the Chiefs got the number one guy.
Yes, that Xavier Worthy.
And you have no idea those three.
Yeah,
who knows? You're splitting hairs. Well, I mean, look, just like the Pats took Nikhil Harry
and DK Metcalf went after him, and AJ Brown, I think, went after him.
All kinds of guys went after him.
Yeah. So yeah, look, it's a crapshoot. Look, you and I talked about the dynasty and how pissed we both were at the way Belichick was portrayed. And I am never going to say a bad word about Belichick, but it was refreshing to watch a draft where they actually drafted for need. Because the one thing Belichick really never did was draft for need. I don't know why, but he never really did that.
He always just do best player available.
Or not even something like that year he took Cole Strange in the first round. I was like,
weird.
We did need an offensive lineman, but that wasn't the guy, you know, and all that. I like the way they...
Wasn't there anybody in that draft team who just said, nobody named Cole Strange?
It's on anybody's draft board.
It's going to...
I know. And it turns out now they're not even relying on him. He's got a bad knee, and they aren't even projecting him to start.
Yeah, I feel like maybe that's like the arrogance just gets so large,
right,
that you just draft these guys out of pure hubris, and you're right, not making any safe picks to save your job.
I agree. And so the one thing that, as just a fan, nothing against Belichick, that I liked about this draft is every pick filled a need. And when was the last time we could say that? You know, granted, they had no choice with Drake May. They had to take Drake May. They had no choice. But in the second round, they took I guess, a really good receiver. I don't know any better. Third round, they took what turns out to be the Penn State guy. Took the offensive lineman, the offensive tackle. Supposedly, the only reason he played right tackle was because of the guy that went in the first round to the Jets, whose name I don't know, like Olafano or something, was playing left tackle. Yeah. Otherwise, he would have been playing left tackle. So that's a good pick, I guess. And like you said, then they picked another good receiver. They got one cornerback. They picked up a tight end, and they took Joe Milton. I thought that was a good draft.
Yeah. Do you know who else did a really good job of picking based on
the Detroit Lions?
Cornerback. Secondary out the wazoo.
Detroit Lions are going to be good next year.
Yeah.
They're going to be really good. They also signed Amon St. Brown, as they should have. And there's still guys we were looking before that the Jefferson hasn't signed. T. Higgins isn't signed. Brandon Ayuk, no one knows what's going on with him. It's like there's still these good receivers. C.D. Lamb isn't signed.
The Niners drafted a receiver, too.
Yeah. The Niners are going to get rid of either Ayuk or maybe Deebo Samuel. But
it's funny. Deebo's better, but he's been hurt more.
And Deebo is like, he's kind of a jack. If you didn't have Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel could be a guy who, yeah, but they got Christian McCaffrey. So in my mind, Ayuk is more valuable to them than Deebo Samuel. Whereas someone like the Patriots would just kill for Deebo Samuel.
Yeah. Well, I would kill for Ayuk, too.
Either one. T. Higgins, too, I would take in a heartbeat. Yeah. So, look, we all know the Patriots aren't going to be good next year. They'll be better, maybe more interesting to watch, but they're not going to be good. They're not going to be good for a long, long time. Eric Rickenbach told me they're never going to be good again.
That's
what he's a football player.
Nobody knows that.
I know, but I'm just saying that's what he said.
They'll be 7-10.
So, CJ, we've wrapped up. So, one more time. Schedule your matches.
Any information?
We need May 31st, when we sit here and have our podcast on May 31st, to be able to say, this team's 2-0, this team's 1-1, and there's nobody that's 0-0 or 1-1 or 1-0 or 0-1.
And if you don't know who you're supposed to play, or if you don't know your standing, go to www.mcgavickcup.com.
Didn't mean to leave that out. I wanted to give you full props for that. If you haven't been on that website is useful and it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
And our podcast is housed on there as well, right?
Yeah.
Adelson, you're taking down my photo, right?
No, not at all. So when I sent the first email out...
You're going to put more photos.
When we sent the first email out with that domain name, Adelson texted me. He was like, God, I can't believe I didn't think to buy that domain name. Hold it hostage.
By the way, had he bought it, we would not have paid for it.
No.
But God love Justin. He's always thinking. That guy's a smart guy. All right, CJ, I guess we'll go back in. If we do this in 2 weeks, we're going to have results.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
The season's underway. If you don't, next week looks beautiful. I wish I was playing a match during the week next week. I don't think that I am. We do have one scheduled.
We're playing the 10th.
I forget when mine is scheduled. Oh, I'm playing during Nooners on the Friday of Memorial Day, which I'm really looking forward to. In fact, I think we're playing both our matches during that Memorial Day weekend. And we're going to split. By the way, CJ, the Goodfellas, I played with Guy Stutz on Saturday, the day of Shot 76. And me and Guy Stutz, Goodfellow partner, beat Rickenbach and Ryan Marston, who was better than any of the other three Grippet and Sippets. And I'm telling you, Goodfellas is ready to make a move. Would you agree that Marston is better than Driscoll, Kirka, or Shapiro?
That's all Remember, very...
Remember, he comes with more strokes.
That's all very similar. I still have Goodfellas to miss the playoffs.
I know, but that's going to change because you're going to have to retract that at some point.
Should I run a test of trying to pick Grippet and Sippet to win the whole thing?
Wait, you mean like an algorithm thing?
No, to see if the computer crashes again.
Oh. Well, we're almost done. You can sign out with that. All right, CJ.
Oh, my God. It actually is starting to go a little haywire.
How much? It hates Grippet and Sippet.
Yeah.
How much time are we in?
We're at 50 minutes.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you got to sign us out.
We got to close it out.
You got to sign us out.
All right. Peace, love, and reciprocals.